exciting time for the church. Got a new pastor coming. And the ministry that he has will depend a lot upon you. If you support him as you supported our son and us, you'll have a great ministry. The church will go forward. It'll continue to grow. I appreciate the fact that you're going to pound the pastor. Don't pound him too hard. But get behind him. Pray for him. Support him. And the Lord will bless. I invite you to turn to Psalms once again this morning. We're not going to Psalms 119, though. Psalm 63. Most Bibles have a title that they give to these different psalms that different psalmists wrote. This particular psalm, Psalm 63, the title I have in my Bible anyhow, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness. You ever been in the wilderness? I'm sure most of you have. Times of loneliness, times when there was dryness in your life, times of discouragement, times of illness, and so forth. But David, in the midst of the wilderness that he was in, wrote a song. This particular psalm, we're not positive when it was written, but very possibly written when he was running from his son Absalom as a result of that time in his life. He was in a wilderness. In 2 Samuel 15, verse 13, there came a messenger to David saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom." And David said unto all his servants that were with him in Jerusalem, "Arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword." Drop down to verse 23, "And all of the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over the king also himself, passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward this way of the wilderness." And David ended up in the wilderness. It's a time of when the ark was away from Jerusalem, the former place of worship, a time when he was going to bring it back to Jerusalem. This psalm is a psalm that I often read to people in the hospital. They're going through a time of wilderness in their life. And it's a difficult time. And as I thought upon this, I thought upon a portion of verse 17, where he says, "Because thou hast, therefore will I." And so this psalm is a psalm of response by David to the Lord. And as I read the entire psalm, I discover there's more than one response to him. Let's read the 63rd psalm together. "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with the joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul falleth hard after thee, my right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, you know each person that is here this morning. And it might be such a thing that there is someone here today that is going through a wilderness experience in their life, a time of dryness possibly, a time of difficulty, a time of discouragement. I pray, dear Father, that this psalm might be an encouragement to them, be a time of strengthening for them. I pray again for that one who might be here without Christ as their Savior, that today they would turn to thee, that they would know your presence in a special way. I pray, Lord, you protect my lips that I not speak anything amiss, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. So this morning we want to, as we turn to Psalm 63, I'd like to look at David's response, asking myself, how am I responding to Christ? How am I responding? Whether you're in a time of wilderness experience in your life or you're on a mountaintop today, you're seeing the blessing of God upon your life as you've never seen it before. How are you responding to Christ? First, if you see, there are two words in this. One word used twice. Because. And so the psalmist David is responding to the because. First of all, is a response of praise in verses 3 down through verse number 6. Notice verse number 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Because. The Webster Dictionary described that particular word as the reason that. And so the psalmist David is saying the reason that. Then he goes on and he gives here simply saying the motivation for my response is because the Lord, because thy loving kindness is better than life. The reason I'm responding as I am, David said, is because of the loving kindness of God. No matter where you are today, no matter how you are responding today, you are in the midst of God's loving kindness. Even if you're here unsaved, God's loving kindness is there for you. And you can respond to it. Life is the most valuable, the most precious commodity that man has in this world. Back in Job chapter 2 and verse 4, and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. You know, many of you have recognized that when Darcy was still here, Dory was here, she'd always come and ask me for a lifesaver after every service. And I told her, I told other people too, that there's nothing worse than bad breath. That's no breath at all. And here Job, he says a man will give for his life. All that a man has. You know, life is a precious thing. And as valuable as life is, the loving kindness of God, his mercy is even greater blessing. Life truly is dear, but God's loving kindness is even nearer than life itself. It is in Christ, through his loving kindness, that we live and have our being. Without Christ, we are nothing. In fact, he even says, without me, you can do nothing. But in Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain of your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. Loving kindness is an unquestioned benefit, a good pleasure that we have as a result of our relationship with Christ. Life is but for a time, but the loving kindness of the Lord is for eternity. Amen. It always will be, always has been. And we need to realize that life, as James says, is but a vapor. It passes away as soon as gone. But the loving kindness of God will remain with us for all of eternity. The loving kindness, the mercy of the Lord is eternal. It is new every morning. Yeah, just think it. You got up this morning, loving kindness is there. You get up tomorrow morning, loving kindness will be there. You get up Tuesday morning, the loving kindness will be there. You get up Wednesday morning, after pastor has been installed as the president of Maranatha, the loving kindness is still there. And Lamentations chapter 3 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You ever stopped and just pondered the faithfulness of God? You think of individuals in your life that have been very faithful, but none compares to the faithfulness of God. Faithful in his provision of salvation, faithful in his daily leading in our life, and faithful in giving us his word to guide us and direct us in our lives. What is that that gives a demonstration of the greatness of the Lord's loving kindness? It is seen in the provision that he has made for us. The provision he continues to make, but particularly the provision of eternal life. As the psalmist says in Psalm 17 and verse 7, show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand. If you're not here this morning, if you're here this morning without Christ as your Savior, oh, let me beg you, take him as your Savior today. You would know the loving kindness of the Lord in a way that you've never known it before. Don't continue in life without him. It is for the ones who put their trust in him. It goes beyond a new life in Christ to a security of anyone who makes the refuge in Christ. God's loving kindness is seen in everyday life. He meets our needs physically. He meets our needs emotionally. He meets our needs spiritually. In Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 7, he says, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed upon me. Think about that for a moment. All that the Lord has bestowed upon me, the loving kindness of the Lord, and as a result, yes, great is the loving kindness of the Lord. And the psalmist says, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Now, here's the response in the latter part of that verse. My lips shall praise thee. So his response to the loving kindness of the Lord is a time of praise. The word shall is used three times. Will is used two times in these verses. Truly, God is worthy of our praise. In Revelation chapter 4 in verse 11, he says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were and are created. Praise in the life of the believer is beneficial. You know, just praise the Lord instead of asking him for something someday. Now, we ought to ask the Lord because he's the one who provides for us. But sometime, just spend time praising him, thanking him for what he's done for us. It's as the psalmist says it's beautiful. It's that which is becoming. In Psalms 147, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. It is beautiful. It is that which is beneficial in our lives. In Psalms 33, verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise is beautiful. It is that which is beneficial. David, as can be true to us as well, we praise the Lord for the former benefits he had abundantly enjoyed. Just sometime, as I already mentioned, think back to what the Lord has done for you. Starting with your salvation and all that took place since that time. Think back to what the Lord has done for you. And as you do so, you will realize the great goodness, loving kindness of the Lord. But knowing what he's done for us can give us confidence that he has what we need in a time of wilderness journey in our lives. And the Lord's kindness is his strength. And Paul and Silas experienced that. You remember Paul and Silas, there was a time in their life where they were in prison. They were shackled. They were bound. They were hooked up to a prison guard watching over them. But in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Think about that. What would you do if you were in prison? Now, we're coming to a time in our nation that it might happen because of what you believe. Will you sing praises unto the Lord, or will you be complaining about what the Lord has allowed you to go through in your life? And here, Paul and Silas, they sang praises unto the Lord for his mighty works. I have a little reading here. It says God's wonderful works. As part of their aquarium tour, Maria and her dad had watched a video presentation about deep sea life. Maria loved seeing the pictures of the colorful fish that swim around coral reefs. She loved seeing the dolphins leap above the waves in pairs and hearing the strange songs that the whales sing deep in the sea. But she began to notice that the narrator in his presentation never said anything about God. He talked about how amazing the sea creatures were. He talked about how mysterious the habits and lifestyles were. But he never once talked about God who created them. Instead, he said that they formed by themselves over billions of years and that Mother Nature had given them certain abilities. Have you ever met Mother Nature? When the video was over, her dad asked Maria, "What do you think of that?" he asked. Oh, she said, "I like seeing all the animals, but I don't think the man who on the video knew God," she said. "You're right. He didn't give God any praise of the wonderful undersea life he created." The sad thing is, there are thousands of people in this world today who would agree with him. People who don't believe that there could be a real God. Are we responding with praise for what the Lord has done in our life? Or it might be that which we see in nature. It might be that which we have experienced in our own life. But David said, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." That little reading that I read, one little phrase, he didn't give God the praise for his wonderful works. Are we, in our life, doing the same? Are we not praising the Lord for his wonderful works? Do I remember to praise the Lord not only for his loving kindness, but for all of his wonderful works? In verses 4 through 6, we have a sample of how the psalmist would praise the Lord. If you took time to read those verses again, then will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. When I just stop and think about the Lord, an example for us in our praise, as we consider the loving kindness of the Lord, as we meditate upon his mighty works, how would it be? Here it says in verse 3, because his loving kindness is better than life, his lips shall, with my lips shall praise thee. But it was a continual praise that the Lord had for him. In verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. My hand, every day of my life, I have something I can praise the Lord for. When one has a proper sense of God, a proper sense of his word, his work, is there ever a day that we cannot praise him? The answer is no. Every day of our life, no matter where we might be, no matter what we might be going through, we can praise the Lord. In Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I hope that's true of each one of us. Our praise is continually in our mouth. And he would praise the Lord with a joyous countenance and with satisfaction. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. He would praise the Lord. The satisfaction he had, knowing who the Lord was, knowing what the Lord could do in his life, he praised the Lord. And what is our response? Are we praising the Lord? Are we responding with praise? Because of thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Now notice in verse 7, the word because again. Starts at verse 7. And we find another response of David. The response of practice. First there was a response of praise, and now the response of practice in verses 7 down through the end of the chapter. Because of the Lord's intervention in his life, especially in his time of wilderness experience, David meditated upon the Lord. This possibly is a part of the meditation in the night in the night experience he was going through, he meditated upon the Lord. It is better to count the Lord's blessing than to count sheep. You can't sleep at night, count the Lord's blessing. Don't count sheep. Sheep are woolly old things that are dirty, but count the blessing of the Lord. They're uplifting, they're joyous, and as he did so, he remembered the Lord's goodness to him in the past. He again recognized how the Lord had delivered him in the past. And very possibly even thinking of his being protected from the bear and the lion as a child, a young man. And how the Lord, possibly thinking about the time when he faced Goliath, you know, 7 foot some giant that he faced. And he thought about the goodness of the Lord. His mind might have gone back to the day that Saul was throwing javelins at him. And yet he thought about the goodness of the Lord. The Lord, in all these times and more, you have been there for me. It's what the psalmist David is saying. When I faced the bear and the lion, when I faced Goliath, when I was dodging javelins being thrown by Saul, you were there. You were protecting me. You were watching over me. And he remembered the Lord's help in the past, his protection, his provision, his blessing, is a good argument for trusting him with the present and with the future. Think back of your own life and what the Lord has blessed you with and how the Lord has provided for you. Truly, we can say, as the writer of the book of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. You know, we had a couple in our church in Fort Atchison. And on the front of their pickup, it said, "The Lord is my co-pilot." I reminded him that his quote was wrong. The Lord should be the pilot. And then we could fall, we maybe could be the co-pilot, but the Lord is my pilot. The Lord is my helper. There is no greater help that you can have in your life than the help that the Lord will give you in your life. In Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." As I read that verse, how many times did you count? And it says, "I am," or "I will." I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee. I will help thee. And, you know, just over and over again, the Lord is there. He's our helper. He's our pilot. He's the one who guides us and directs us in our life. Now, again, notice the response of David. We find here, "Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." Therefore, because of your help, because of your intervention in my life, I will place myself under your safe and keeping rejoice in the Lord. It's talking about submission. Am I willing to submit to the Lord as he guides in my life, as he intervenes in my life? I will find happiness in his presence and not sadness. In Psalm 57 in verse 1, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I take my refuge until these calamities are overpassed." But a little phrase in there, "In the shadow of thy wings will I take thy refuge." Again, in Psalms 91 and verse 4, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust." I grew up on a farm out in northeastern Colorado, and we had a bunch of chickens there. And before we went to grade A milk, we could let them run loose, but when we went to grade A milk, we had to have them penned up, and, you know, just the regulations. But, you know, some old hen would go out to some place and lay a bunch of eggs and sit on them for a while and come back. And she'd be leading a brood of little chicks with her. And some hawk or something would fly over. And, boy, she would squat down and squeak, and these little chicks would come flying underneath her wings. And they would find safety there. And, you know, in the time of difficulty in our life, do we cling to the Lord? Do we run to his and hide under his wings? We can scamper to the safety of the Father's presence. We can meditate upon him at a time. When all other help fails, we can rejoice in the Lord. We can look to the Lord for our help. Secondly, "Because you have been my help, I will follow hard after you." Literally, David is saying, "I will be glued to you. I will," again, a little reading, clinging to Christ. "Have you ever seen a vine twisted tightly around a tree? I recently saw a big vine as I was in the woods enjoying a picnic. When I first looked at the fig tree, it was difficult to tell the vine from the tree itself. But as I looked more closely, I began to see the outline of a vine that had grown tighter and higher by wrapping itself tightly around the tree and growing as the tree grew up. I went over and tried to rip away the vine from the tree, but it was no use. The vine had twisted around and bound itself the strong trunk of the tree. The vine was not going anywhere except where the tree was going." You know, as we wait upon the Lord, as we cling to him, we can grow with him. We can become strong, and not in ourselves, but in the Lord and what the Lord has done for us. The Lord has done marvelous works in our life. And the psalmist David, in his chapter, twice he says, because, first of all, he says, because of the loving kindness of the Lord. And he responds with praise because of what the Lord has done. And then in verse 7, because thou hast been my help, there in the shadow will I hide myself. And that David, how David was responding in the time of when he was out in the wilderness. How do we respond to the Lord? In the wilderness or in the time of great blessing, how do we respond to the Lord? Do we respond with praise? Do we respond by turning to him, leaning upon him, responding with the practice of a close walk with the Lord? The tighter we are with the Lord, the stronger we become spiritually. And this morning, how are you responding to the Lord? No matter where you might be, how are you responding to the Lord? Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great goodness. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your help that you give us on a daily basis. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you meet needs in our life. Lord, I pray especially for that one that might be here this morning going through a wilderness journey in their life. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to respond as did David in a time of wilderness. I pray, Lord, that we would respond with praise for what you have done, for what you continue to do in our life, for salvation which you have provided so rich and so free, for being our help, our guide, our strength from day to day. I pray, Lord, that we would respond with praise to thee and with a clinging to thee in a difficult time in our life. Lord, I pray that you would guide and direct each of us in our lives, no matter where we might be, that we would turn to thee. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I want to trust you take just a moment this morning. How are you responding to the Lord? And whether you're going through a difficult time, whether you're on a mountaintop, how are you responding to the Lord? Do you find time of praise in your life? Or do you find just a grumbling? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, by an uplifted hand, Pastor, would you pray for me? I don't praise the Lord as I ought, but I realize I need to praise the Lord. Anyone at all, step up the hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I am not sure. Yes, yes. Anyone else? Yes. I have not preached a salvation message this morning, but you know, it's impossible to praise the Lord. It's impossible to really find him as your help if you do not know him as your personal Savior. Possibly there might be someone here this morning to slip up the hand and by that gesture be saying, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure. I'm on my way to heaven, but I am concerned enough about it. I just ask you to pray for me. I realize your prayer will not save me, but I realize also that I need your prayer. I need to turn to thee. And you slip in your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven today. Anyone at all? Dear gracious God, we thank you for those who raised their hand. Lord, you know what was behind the hand. We saw the hand and we are praying for them as we promised we would. But Lord, you see behind the hand. You know what's in the heart. You know what's in the need is in their life at this time. I pray, God, that they would turn to thee. They would find in their life the ability to praise thee for your with joyful lips and what you have done for them, what you continue to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray.